Welcome, everyone. This is the Board of Adjustment meeting of August the 9th. First of all, I'd like to welcome a new member, Mary Springer, who's a member of the board. We're happy to have her on board. Roll call, please.
Paul?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Springer?
Here. The Board of Adjustment is a five-member board appointed by the mayor. It's the responsibility of the board to interpret the city's zoning ordinance as they apply to special uses and variances. Public hearings are held monthly, and each board member has had an opportunity to view staff's report and visit the site in question. A decision is usually made at the public hearing. Is there a motion for the minutes of the previous meeting?
I make a motion to approve the minutes of the July 12th meeting.
Mayor, I'll have to second that because neither of the other two people were here. So roll call.
Falk?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Gallagher?
Here. All right. Excuse me.
Still here.
With the board's consensus, we're going to move item B. Would you care if we do that?
I'm fine. Keep it up.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Item B is a case at 6313 Dorothy Drive, a request for a variance to allow a 6-foot fence in the required front yard submitted by James and Lori Rohrer. Was there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The site is being highlighted on the graphic being displayed before you. It's on the southeast corner of the Beaver Crossing addition, and it is a corner lot at the intersection of Palm Drive and Dorothy Drive. The applicant is requesting to place a 6-foot fence around the perimeter of what is considered the rear yard. However, because of the proximity towards two street frontages, a portion of the 6-foot fence would be considered in the front yard setback. That small portion, which encroaches into the front yard setback, is highlighted on the graphic with the pink shaded area and represents significantly a small portion of the square footage of the area to be fenced. And it would remain at least 10 feet away from the property line that is adjacent to Palm Drive. The board has been very clear about these discussions in the past, and in fact, in this area, only a block and a half away, again on Palm Drive, so it's very much in the neighborhood here, in October of 2011, the board approved a similar request at 6304 Ocean Boulevard, and that request involved almost the same issues before you today. The board's been very clear in the past discussions that these similar type requests with 6-foot fences would be tolerable as long as they maintain a reasonable distance away from the involved property line. It was suggested often that 10-foot would be the minimum. Also, I would point out in the current request before us, staff did apply the 35-foot vision triangle that we apply at all intersection. That would represent this area approximately that I've just highlighted. In fact, the request would be outside of a 70-foot triangle at that intersection, so it poses no type of encroachment into the vehicle's ability to see each other as they approach the intersection. The board has also been very clear that they don't want to see these type of fences directly onto the property line, and in this case, that is not the request, nor was it the request of the one previously approved in October of 2011. As you can see, this area has developed with fences encroaching into the front yard. Now, that's not to indicate that the one I'm highlighting right now is in violation anyway. That's only a 4-foot high fence, but it is consistent with the way fences have been installed in this area along Palm Drive. And in fact, I believe the next case you're going to have before you is the exact same type of request, and it will basically build on the narrative that I've just described to you in this case. I believe that does summarize the case, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this proposal. Go ahead, sir, and state your name. Go to the podium and please state your name and address. Up the podium in the back, please.
Yes, I'm James Rohner. I'm the owner of the house at 6313 Dorothy's Drive. So, we're looking to put the 6-foot privacy fence in for obviously privacy reasons. My wife and myself have a dog and kids that we're trying to keep contained and also maintain a level of privacy. And as you can see on the drawing, by going off of the back of the house, we lose some square footage to our backyard. So we're trying to capture some square footage back, but at the same time not encroach into other people's visions for going around the corner.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, is discussion among the board? Is there a motion?
I'll move that we approve case number 12046 at 6313 Dorothy's Drive, the variance to allow a 6-foot fence in the required front yard.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Call the roll.
Falk?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Malika?
Aye. Yes. Number C is case number 12-047 at 6305 International Drive, a request for a variance to allow a 6-foot fence in the required front yard submitted by Brian Mossbaugh. Is there an application of publication?
Yes, sir, there is.
Affidavit?
This will be a very brief discussion as it's a mirror of the request you just looked at. Again, it's in the exact same neighborhood, and in fact, this is directly next door to the approval the board gave in October of 2011. In this particular case, the vision triangle would be approximately in this area here, so the request has absolutely nothing to do with the vision triangle, and it would no way deter from the visibility of vehicles approaching the intersection. Again, this is similar to the other fences that have been installed in the area of the subdivision, and the request is obviously consistent with what has been approved previously up in this area. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? Go ahead, sir.
My name is Brian Mossbaugh, and I'm the resident at 6305 International Drive. I currently just proposed to put up that small section of fence, and I do not want to go up past the back of my house. I would like to match up exactly with the resident behind our house who was previously approved, bringing it in a little bit of space. Would probably look kind of silly, to be honest with you, but you know, I would just appreciate your approval. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think we all like your pool too.
True.
Is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, is there discussion among the board? Or a second or a motion?
I'd make a motion that we approve case number 12-047 for the special use for the variance for the
Is there a second?
Second.
Second, okay. Roll call, please, Lisa.
Falk?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Spranger?
Yes.
Aye. Item D is a case at 12-048 at 2339 53rd Avenue, a C2 district, a request for a variance to reduce the required setback from 15 feet to 7.5 feet and from 15 feet to 13 feet for two on-premises identification signs submitted by Accenture Credit Union. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is, Mr. Chairman. The site is located at the southwest corner of 53rd Avenue and 18th Street, and the property that's involved is outlined in yellow on the graphic being displayed. The applicant has received approval for the construction of a banking facility at this location, which includes an incorporated drive-up lanes and windows, and is asking your permission for the placement of two standalone on-premise identification signs. Normally, at a corner location such as this, you're going to see almost always a request to have a sign in this area to get the maximum type of visibility on both street frontages. The applicant is running into some visibility problems at this location, and I'll just outline a few of the things that the applicant has pointed out. The normal setback for an on-premise identification sign, the size and square footage that they will be choosing, would be a minimum 15-foot setback. At the normal location, that 15-foot setback puts the sign directly into the drainage basin, into the stormwater detention basin that runs throughout the site. In order to come up with the proper calculations for stormwater detention, the basin had to basically take up this entire area. Once you have eliminated the 15-foot setback, the code states that you then can go back to the 20-foot setback or the normal building line setback. Very difficult for you to see, I'm sure, on this graphic as it's displayed. I'll try to show you where that building setback line is for both street frontages. And that would place a corner sign in this area here, which now blocks its visibility from traffic coming north on 18th Street, and also blocks its visibility because of the tree count that they must meet with the city for landscaping ordinance requirement. Therefore, the request for the signs are as such. On the north sign, it would be approximately 7.5 feet back from the property line adjacent to 53rd. This still places the sign as far back as possible from 53rd without having the sign protrude out into the traveled portion of the driveway here. And I believe that is about as far back as that sign can go, given the configuration of this lot and the site plan layout. That will give the applicant visibility towards for eastbound traffic on 53rd Avenue. The sign will still be partially obscured because of trees. However, that's about the only option they have left, and they have chosen that option. If allowed, that sign would still be approximately 48 feet removed from the nearest paved portion of 53rd Avenue. The south sign, or the 15-foot setback request sign, also appears from staff's analysis to be as far back as possible without placing the sign either into the required parking or the driveway area. The request for the setback for this sign only involves Falcon Avenue. This sign is properly set back away from 18th Street. Given all of the restrictions due to the landscape ordinance, the placement of the trees to meet our tree count, the configuration of the stormwater detention basin in order to meet our stormwater detention calculation requirements, staff feels that the applicant has demonstrated hardship as it specifically relates to the placement of an on-premise identification sign. I believe that summarizes the case. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this proposal?
Thank you. My name is Josh Shaneman with the Lamakia Group, here on behalf of the Central Credit Union. In addition to the description you've already had, we just wanted to point out that we do agree that we typically like to put that signage in the corner and maximize the effectiveness of that sign. But because of the the obstructions of the required landscaping, as well as the high traffic counts in that area, that we felt it was important to clearly identify those access points before the traffic gets there and give them enough time to safely turn in, especially with a boulevard in the street. If they miss that turn, they really don't have an opportunity to recover and get back into that site. So there wasn't a lot of opportunity to address it in any other way because the site's fully developed, all but the far right corner, and that's just happened to be where it's not visible enough.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, perhaps I neglected to explain that issue to you. Plat requirements require this site to use a shared access, so they will not be given a dedicated site of their own for 53rd Avenue. Therefore, they have to have this entrance, which is a right-in, right-out only, as far removed from the intersection as possible. That's a plat requirement, and they have no option in there. There's also a plat requirement that totally restricts any drive access to 18th Street, and as he said, that's the reason they would like to locate these as close to those entrances as possible.
We do have a rendering too.
Okay.
Elevation for the eastbound traffic coming off 53rd. This is opposite the intersection. This is coming north on Falcon. Or I'm sorry, north on 18th Street.
North on 18th.
Yeah.
So there'll be a low profile sign.
Yeah, on
both of them, technically.
No, the other one's higher.
This one will have a message center. They're both within the city requirements. It's just the placement is what's in question.
Thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this proposal? Seeing none, is there discussion among the board?
No.
I have no questions.
Okay. Is there a motion on this item?
I will make a motion that we approve case number 12-048 as per the application.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay. A motion and a second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Spranger?
Aye.
Oliger?
Aye. Case 12-048 at 2339 at 53rd Avenue has been approved. Going to case A, case number 12-041 at 1460 Isle Parkway. It's a C7 district. A request for a modification of an existing special use permit to allow auctions submitted by U.S. auctioneers. Was there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there was. Mr. Chairman, I will go over this case again so that our new member can be brought up to date as well. This is the site which is commonly referred to as the overflow parking area for the Isle of Capri site. It involves lots 1 and 2 of Steamboat Landing's first edition, approximately 20 years ago. The board granted a special use permit for this site to allow U.S. auctioneers to engage in auctions at this site. And those auctions were to be for semi-tractor trailers. Those auctions have been taking place for the last 20 years at this site on a regular basis, and it was brought to staff's attention that there were items other than semi-tractors and trailers being sold. In June of this year, we received a complaint. Staff went to the site and did find other items as you're being shown here. It was also observed by staff that predominantly the items that were being auctioned off at this site are semi-tractor trailers. However, there were other items on a very small proportion compared to the semi-tractor trailers that were being sold, and that was not specified in the original decision and order. At that point, staff sent a cease and desist letter to U.S. auctioneers, and once they received that, they came back to the board last month with a request to modify the original decision and order. They fully admitted that they were under the assumption that they could do other items and they didn't realize they were in violation, and in fact told us that this is the way it's been going on the whole time that these auctions have been going on for the past 20 years. That being what it was staff's responsibility to notify them what the original decision order was and inform them to abide by it. Therefore, they are back before you, U.S. auctioneers, asking for a modification. At last month's meeting, it was determined that this item would be continued until this meeting, and staff was instructed to go down to the auction that was taking place, I believe it was the very next week after last month's meeting, and Chairman Vollinger also went to that. Before each of you, I have put one of these flyers. This is the actual sale bill for last month, and I will be displaying it in totality for the audience as well. Predominantly, what you're going to see on this sale bill are semi-tractor trailers. It's very obvious those are the predominant items being sold. On the front cover, you will see that there were also two luxury boats that were being sold at last month's auction. On page two, at the very bottom, you have what I would call items related either to construction, commercial type vehicles, or industrial type vehicles, forklifts, straight trucks, backhoes, bulldozers, things of that nature. Having said that, remaining on that same page, you can see the vast majority of the items are semi-tractor trailers. Page three, you will see that there is a small section which has items that are not related either to semi-tractor trailers or commercial vehicles or industrial type vehicles or construction type. These are simply automobiles, cars like you and I would drive. I believe there are eight out of the entire auction that are listed that are automobiles. And then the last page, of course, goes back and shows, well, this in its entirety is semi-tractor trailers. This was the finding of staff per your instructions when we went to the last sale. And the board asked staff to come up with some type of wording. It was the board indicated to staff that they were open to some type of modification, but they did not want us to be carte blanche and have anything. I believe you all have received the staff report, and staff has, I'll go over some of the items that staff suggested within the staff report, that being a maximum of 10 sales per year. Items were not to be displayed on site more than 8 consecutive days before each sale. Items are to be removed within 48 hours of the sale. Those first three items that I just mentioned are the exact same wording from the original decision and order. So there is, at this point, there's no modification. From now on, what I'm going to describe that staff has in the staff report is a suggested modification, and that being to allow other commercial, industrial, construction type related vehicles, as long as the semi-tractor trailers are the predominant items being offered at any sale? And lastly would be that no other items would be allowed for sales, and that would eliminate, if you go with that wording, the few automobiles that were on display last month. The applicant has received our report just as you have, as well as the person who originally filed the complaint. I believe the applicant would like you to consider them to allow the sale of other items, even if they are just regular passenger vehicles. That will be something that will be your discussion and your decision. You also have a printout in front of you, which is the statistical breakdown of all the sales that took place on this site throughout the last year, from August of 2011 to July of 2012. As you can see, the truck tractors represented 39% of all items sold in that entire year. Semi-trailers represented 47% of all items sold in that entire year. And all other miscellaneous items, whether they be construction vehicles, commercial vehicles, industrial type vehicles, or just plain passenger vehicles, all of those combined represented 14%. So if the board were to want to allow that situation to continue, if you made the decision that you wanted no more than 15% of items other than the semi-tractor trailers, then that would continue as it is and has been conducted over the past. I think I've gone over quite a bit here, and I'm not sure if any of you have any questions of me. I would be more than happy to answer.
Anyone have a question of John?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this proposal?
I think you asked for if I would like to speak with questions in the outside. I couldn't hear. We ask you, I'm Dick Phelps with U.S. Auctioneers. We ask you to approve this modification. It includes cars. We bring to this area from a worldwide attendance. On one day, we bring in the neighborhood of 1,500 people. Some of them stay all week. Some of them come before the auction sale and then bid online because they can't get here on a Thursday. We bring a lot of people here, and it's the equipment curve that makes this work. So somebody asked me, why do you worry about 14%? Because 14% is icing on a birthday cake. The cake isn't any good to have the icing on it. It's the equipment curve. We have a customer, Irene Jones from Minnesota, that brings three or four drivers down and they buy equipment. And she says, Dick, here's the title and the key. Sell this car the next time. What am I going to do if I can't sell my car? We have a real good customer across the river, Spectacola. And they bought all new trucks and trailers, and they saw a turnaround, so they bought all new company cars. So here's the eight cars you sell in Forest Tourist right along with our trucks and trailers. It's something that we've done for 20 years. And it's worked out really, really well. Somebody will see that brochure and say, I could use that car. I'm going to the sale. I wouldn't normally go. And then when he gets here, he'll say, gosh, that tractor, trailer over there, I could use that. I'm glad I'm here. That's what makes it work. It's like the Hollywood magazines at the checkout counter at Hy-Vee. Probably wouldn't have bought one, but it was stopped from right there. So we plead that you would allow that to continue to happen, what we've done for 20 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Dick. Anyone else wishing to speak in favor of this proposal? Anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this proposal?
Greg Gackle, 1116 Cofeld Avenue. I've got a couple questions, but I just want to make a few observations first, too, about this piece of property. I'm not sure John mentioned, but this property is zoned C7. It was zoned C7 for recreational use. You know, initially there was supposed to be an amusement park down here, and it was supposed to be developed for services related to the gambling, recreation, and the tourism business. Back when this special use was given, I don't believe anybody in the city or on the board thought that this was going to continue very long. The whole idea was this was going to be sort of a temporary use. From the get-go, the use of this site has been far more than 8 to 10 days. One of the things that was mentioned earlier, and I think it deserves repeating, is that the prior month, this site was used for almost 30 days by the time they were putting vehicles on there, by the time they got them cleared off. So they have been violating the terms of this special use for some time and have continued to expand their days that they use it, and also the type of equipment that's sold down there. Now, they may have sold a car to 10 years ago, but I can tell you from personal observation that they are selling far more cars than they did just a year ago. They're also selling all kinds of miscellaneous equipment, including lawn equipment, that they didn't used to do. Now, these were all clearly not specified in the special use permit. I initially came to the board several months ago asking the Board of Adjustment to revoke this special use permit because of the long-standing and repeated violations of the special use permit. Consequently, through the discussion with the user, and not involving myself or anyone else outside of just the city and the user, they've come up with this proposal. I have a couple of questions. One is, you say items related to semi-tractor trailers, commercial and industrial vehicles. Does that mean end loaders, bulldozers, luxury boats, and cars?
As the zoning administrator, I would say it includes all but the passenger vehicles.
Does the 8 days that specified it for using the site, does that include the weekends?
In my opinion, yes.
So these modifications that have come up with, the one thing that would not change would be that they would have 8 days to stockpile, 2 days to get them off. Is that correct?
It's the exact same wording as the original, yes.
Mm-hmm. I guess my other question is, what will happen if you approve this and they continue to violate the terms of the special use?
The ordinance gives us the ability to issue a municipal infraction citation.
Well, I strongly oppose expanding the use of this site for items other than semi trucks and trailers that were in the original special use. This area down there is, as I said, is zoned C7 recreational uses. It was never intended for auctions. Only by the board's, and I believe, short-term thinking was that this was going to be used for truck auctions for any length of time. I don't think it's a good place for it. There's lots of places you can haul stuff into and sell, and but this is a front door to the community. This is right next to your recreation trail. Most of the business, most of the visitors coming into the city of Bettendorf who come on the I-74 bridge will see this. It's an eyesore. If you continue to permit this type of use of that property, it's not going to get any better. People are not going to want to invest down there. It's right next to Leech Park. It should never have been approved in the first place, and I urge you not to expand the type of equipment that's sold down there. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Is there discussion among the board?
I guess I'd like to hear regarding the 8 to 10 days. And I mean, do you have, Mr. Phelps, do you have any reason? Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have any, can you address the issue of the 8 to 10 days and any infractions that might have been in the past? Perhaps enlighten us as to why those might have occurred?
We do our very, very best to make sure not anything comes down on that lot. There's two, one area that you know about. There's a customer, civil contractors. It's a bridge contractor. And he brought down a piece of equipment, and he missed the property land line by about 15 feet. I quickly moved it underneath the bridge. We have two lots that we bring equipment in, stage equipment, one down on Elm, one over by the airport. And we do our very, very best. And every once in a while, somebody will bring something down early, and I move it as fast as I can. I check that lot 3 times a day after the brochure goes out. To give you an example, going across the bridge, I look down, and there are several trucks and trailers down there, but there's one red one. I knew that had to be in the sale. So I ran down there real quick, and it was locked. I hadn't moved in 30 days, and I called the guy up, and I said, how in the world could you do this to me? He said, I don't know what you're talking about. As it turned out, Tenant Trucking was the company, but International in Davenport were working on the piece of equipment, so they were going to do Mr. Tenant a favor and drop it off down there 2 days early. He didn't realize it. We're not a perfect world. The only one that's perfect is the one that guides us. And there's been some, and we were only 3 times in 20 years, that's 200 sales, have we failed to be off of that property in 24 hours. Two is my fault. I took the guy's word to take the piece of equipment off. The next one was during the winter, and it started to snow like crazy. We waited until the salt trucks was out Thursday night, and we had everything moved within the 48-hour period. We do our best. We police everything. There's other events down there. We pick up their garbage. We don't mind doing that because we want to keep it clean. We want to keep it nice. But we do our very best to be off in and out in the 8-day period. Thank you. Anything else?
Anybody else have any questions? I'd just like to say, Dick, that I was down there with Bill, and to me it was a very clean, professional run operation. and everything was displayed properly, and I have no problem with your request.
Thank you, sir. We try awful hard. Hard work and honesty will prevail. Thank you, sir.
Well, I checked on Sunday, and everything was gone that I can could see.
Yeah, everything was gone Friday night. Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
I don't want to get into a he said, she said, they said, we said sort of thing, but as a resident who is a frequent user of the recreational trail down there, it has occurred numerous times over the last 2 years that equipment has been deposited on the site far in advance of the sale. I kept track last month leading up to this and counted 26 days that items were on there. Now, this was not just one or two things either. This was not a mistake. This is a long-term continuing issue. That's why I asked, if you approve this or if you allow this, what will happen when they are not following the terms of special use? And that's why I oppose any further expansion of this.
Thank you, Greg. I'd like to make a motion that we approve the miscellaneous items up here up to allow 15%. And I'd like to make a motion that the city monitor this sale with the code enforcement, every sale, so that everything is conforming to what the rules and regulations follow. Is there any other discussion?
None.
Lisa, someone make a motion here?
Oh, okay. I will make said motion.
To what?
To approve or to revise the, I guess, revise the limits.
15%.
To 15% for the miscellaneous, in which covers what he's got here.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, all the other items on here are fine. I move that we approve that.
Including the monitoring of the
including the monitoring of
the 8-day schedule and with the code enforcement,
especially the monitoring.
Okay. Is there a second?
Well, I'll second it, but as far as I'm concerned, I want to put special emphasis on the monitoring and making sure that the equipment curve, as it's been referred to, not be expanded any more than what we have seen down there. So the short word is, yes, I'll second your motion.
Lisa, would you call the vote, please?
Aye.
Johnson? Aye.
Schreiner?
Aye.
Aye. The motion carried for case number 12-041 at 1460 Isle Parkway. Is there anything else to be brought before the board this evening?
Well, just to respond to the board, I think it's very clear that this person's been put on notice, and I think staff has also made that very clear to them. So just wanted to assure you of that. Nothing further to bring before the board.
Thank you. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion to adjourn has been approved.